short psalm. And this is really, I think it's important that we talk about what this psalm doesn't mean. And then we'll get on to what it means. But we'll see, well, you know, let's do something weird. Let's go ahead and I will read through it and you follow along the entire psalm. And then we'll pray and then we'll get it. Remember, this is a song of ascent. And probably one of the songs that they would sing, that the Jews would sing on their way to Jerusalem during the major feasts. It was celebrating God's victories, celebrating his work in their lives. And so they were very excited to go up to Jerusalem to celebrate these feasts. And so these songs were sung. There are 15 songs of ascent. So anyway, so let's read it. This one says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this help that you give us. We thank you so much for covering us, blessing us, working in us, and working on our behalf. And tonight, Lord, I pray that you would bring us to that place to where we would truly acknowledge your help, your glory, your every move in our lives. And we thank you even for tonight. You are the one who got us here, and we want to praise you for that. So, Lord, speak to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Little history lesson. I think many of us know this. If you've been around here for a while, we kind of know what's going on with Israel, with Israel's inception all the way back in Genesis, and then in Exodus, and their redemption from slavery, and then brought through the wilderness and into the promised land. And Israel had actually seen some amazing battles won by the Lord. And God was clear with them that it would be him that would be winning these battles. Israel would be instructed to do some pretty crazy things. He did tell them in Deuteronomy and in Joshua that wherever you set your foot, I will give you this land. And so they would set their foot in enemy territory, and if they were obedient to the Lord, then he would wipe out the enemy and give them this land. He would have them as in the walls of Jericho. We know that they marched around that thing for 7 days. That's crazy. And yet I believe it was stuff like this where God would instruct Israel to do something so off the wall, for you pun people. I can't believe. But something so twisted that once those walls came down, they would know that it was all God. And I think the main thing I get out of this, and I want us all to get out of this, is that every victory and every good thing that ever comes your way in this life, it's all God. It is all him. And the Judges, chapters 6 through 8, we know the whole story of Gideon, who had to to fight tens of thousands of Midianites, and God made Gideon pare his army down to about 300 people. It was so that Gideon and all Israel would know that it was God who won the battle. Very important. 2 Kings chapter 19, we have the Assyrians coming against Judah, and they had just wiped through all of Israel, and now they're going to take Hezekiah and all of Judah out. And we know the story there, as they sent a dirty letter to Hezekiah and said, just give up. And Hezekiah brought the letter to the Lord. And Isaiah came to Hezekiah and said, hey, God's got a message for you. And you know, God says, because you prayed, this is what I'm going to do. And then next morning, thousands of Assyrian soldiers who were encamped around Jerusalem, they woke up dead. I don't know how you wake up dead, but those who did wake up noticed that there were dead people all around them, and they flipped out and ran, and that was the end of it. You know, God would often turn the enemies against one another and do the craziest things. As Israel had made their way, even back all the way back to Egypt, as they're leaving Egypt, and he parts the waters, here comes the Egyptian army, and God made their chariot wheels square. It's like he did things to save them, to protect them. And so we look at this, and they are rejoicing in the fact that God is their protection, that God has gotten them through this, and they know the main thing here. God is on our side. God is on our side. And now, the question I would have then is, why then had Israel also lost so many battles? Where was God then? So I want to make sure that we understand something about this. This psalm isn't telling us that we're never going to experience defeat in our lives. It's not telling us that Israel was not to ever experience defeat. Now, God gave them a heads up back in Leviticus chapter 26. God said to them, now look, you stick with me, and you're going to be the head, the rest of the world's going to be the tail. That's all there is to it. You know, 10 will chase 1,000. You know, 1,000 will chase 10,000. You guys are going to win battles. But if you don't stick with me, you're going to lose battles. And so when we look at the history of Israel, we see them winning battles and we see them losing battles. And it's pretty easy to figure out that their losses were a result of their lack of faithfulness to God. God never promised to cover them when they were not walking faithfully with him. In fact, he promised them trouble. And, you know, Joshua was so surprised back in Joshua chapter 7 when they went against Ai after beating up on Jericho. Ai looked like it was going to be a breeze, and so they just kind of went in there and some Israelites died. You say, well, where was God? That's what Joshua did. He got on his face and cried and threw a fit. He said, oh God, you said you are always going to cover us. And God said to Joshua something which he said, Joshua, get up. Get up. He says, there's sin in the camp. You see, Achan had taken of the accursed things. God told them, do not take these things. And Achan was tempted. He saw them. He coveted. He took them and he hid them. But God saw it, and as a result, it weakened the entire nation. And so they lost the battle at Ai. We know that they would lose many battles against the Philistines when they got into the Promised Land. We know that they had lost so many battles until the time when Babylon just finally took them away. They lost the whole city. They lost all their land. They had lost the northern part of the land to the Assyrians and then lost the southern part of the land to the Babylonians. And so with that said, we have to understand that what David is saying, which by the way, not everybody agrees that this is a psalm of David. Of course, David wouldn't know anything about the Babylonian loss, but David would certainly know about the losses against the Philistines, all the way back to against Ai, the loss to the to Moab and Midian back before they had come across. Anyway, lots of losses of life. And so understand something. What this does not mean is that we're always going to win. But what it is telling us is that when we win, that's because of God. Any success, any escape, and these guys have been through plenty, plenty of mess. And so they knew to glorify God in all of this, to thank God. If it had not been for the Lord, we would have been toast. It is important that we see that they did not honor themselves because with this framework, then you could honor yourself and say, God bailed me out because I'm a good guy. Right? I mean, because if you walk with God, he says, I'll bail you out. If you don't walk with God, I won't bail you out. It was that simple. And that was the truth of the Old Testament scriptures. But those who knew the Lord, truly knew the Lord, understood that even their walk was a miracle from God. So if it had not been for the Lord on our side, then we would have been swallowed by those people. Now, this business of the waters in verses 4 and 5, some suggest that this is, relates maybe to the Red Sea and the parting of the Red Sea or the stopping of the waters of the Jordan River that they were to cross over. But actually, in the context of all this, I just think that it's imagery from the psalmist just saying, you know what, it would have been like we would have been buried by them. We would have drowned. They, our enemy, would have killed us. But God fights for them. Blessed be the Lord, verse 6, who has not given us as prey to their teeth, who has protected us. That's the whole theme of this entire thing. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. How do you relate this to you and me? I think that when we give our lives to the Lord, and we devote ourselves to the Lord the best we can. Yeah, the Lord covers us. In fact, I like, what Paul says to the Romans. And some of you may have already thought this. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You and I have lots of enemies. We talked about persecution this morning, but then there's other kinds of enemies, and that's the spiritual battle that you and I face every day. But the question is rhetorical. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Well, it's rhetorical. Everybody knows nobody, nothing. And it would be better because Paul is speaking to those who are born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word if so often in its context can simply mean since. Since God is for us, who can be against us? So let's not get caught up in the if. Like, oh no, I wonder if God's for me today. No, God's for you every day. There's no way around it. Romans 8, 37 through 39, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are covered. That's all there is to it. But why then do we see failure in our lives? A couple of ideas, because one of the problems is the fact that all of the Old Testament are shadows and pictures. It's parables, but real life people playing out parables of the spiritual battle that you and I live in. And we do have an enemy that would like to destroy us. And sometimes, talk about the soul, our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. We have an enemy who likes to put snares in our way and trap us. And sometimes you trip. And you say, oh God, where were you? Well, the question might be, well, where were you? What were you doing? What were you thinking? Because I think a lot of times when we say, oh God, where were you? In many cases, God was never invited. I think that let's go extreme here. You know, whenever there's a horrible tragedy, you know, there'd be some sort of, I'm talking about unbelievers getting in a bar fight and somebody ends up getting killed. One of the things that they do, the first thing many do is just blame God. Where was God? How come God didn't stop this? But God was not invited. God is not going to be so rude as to bail you out when you don't want him near anyway. But you and I, as believers, we are protected from the enemy, but the Lord gives us this rotten thing called free will. But God knows as well that with that free will, he knows what we're going to do, and then he's going to use that. And so there are times where maybe your soul did not escape the temptation that the enemy puts in front of you. But check it out. When you do escape, when you do that 1 Corinthians 10:13 thing, you know, no temptation has seized you except what is common to men, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. There's always a window that you can jump out. So when you and I bear the temptation and then we turn the other way, you know who gets the glory for that? God. We were almost caught in the devil's snare. But when we see it, we go, whoo. And there's a temptation always for you and me to go, man, hey, I'm growing. I'm getting stronger. And that may be true, but why are you growing? Why are you getting stronger? Because of God. Because of his grace. I'm still learning this. And I think I'm going to get it when I'm dead and I'm face to face with God. And that is, it's all him. It's all him. You and I, and we see it throughout the New Testament scriptures, what do we see? We saw a lot of failure, didn't we? In the book of Acts, you know, Ananias and Sapphira go down. You know, where was God? Ananias and Sapphira didn't invite God. But this weird stuff's happening to the church. Then the outward persecution comes to the church. Where was God's protection there? Jesus, we talked about it this morning, Jesus says in Luke 21:16-18, you'll be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And I'm saying, wait a minute, if not for the Lord, we would be. But he's saying, you're going to be put to death. They're going to kill you. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake, Jesus says. And so you're saying, okay, but I'm reading that, you know, I walk with you and you protect me. You are my protector. And God says, yeah. Yeah, but I'm really, really walking with you, and then you're telling me that there's a chance that I will not be protected. That my body will not be protected. But Jesus goes on to say, here, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. You will remain unharmed because it's what's inside that the Lord is working on. And as you and I walk through this life, we will fail. Others will fail us. We will have to endure sickness, pain, difficulty, persecution. And the Lord is protecting us through the whole thing. Sometimes you think, say, in terms of just general trials, you do everything right, and as it reads in John chapter 15, you got the fruit going, everything's going great, you're connected to the Lord, and then everything just falls apart because the Lord is pruning you, that you would get more fruit. Well, that seems like God wasn't paying attention when everything fell apart. Could it be that when everything's falling apart, that's part of his wonderful, incredible plan to work on your insides? Well, the answer is yes. And there are also times, for sure, that you and I will fail or face some sort of failure because of sin in our lives. And God may just go ahead and let you touch the burner. Oh, those of you with children, you try to bubble wrap your kids, but they won't learn that stove is indeed hot, or maybe they will not learn the definition of hot until they finally touch it. I believe the Lord allows us to touch the burner. I don't let my kids touch the burner, but boy, did Carrie Ann sneak by me that day. She never had to be told no again. How many things in your life you don't have to be told no again? Because you've touched it. Because you've seen it. You've seen what it did to you. But now, so with all of this said, I don't believe that this psalm is teaching us by any means that our life is just going to be basically bubble wrapped by God. We're bubble wrapped by God. Thanks for the bubble wrap, Lord. Good job. No, not at all. What it's telling us is that as far as you and I can see, as far as you and I can understand regarding what is good, when things go well with you and me, then it would be smart for us to say, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side. If it had not been for the Lord. Now, let's get weird. If Jesus, if our Father in heaven knows the number of hairs on our head, if his thoughts for us are more numerous than the grains of sand, then if you put that all together and look at this psalm, that means that when you are walking down the street and you trip over the crack in the sidewalk and you almost fall, and you go, whoa, and you almost fell over and rolled on the, and could have busted your ankle, but you didn't. You caught yourself. Whoop, 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 whoop. That was the Three Stooges. But you caught yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me from that fall. Are we willing to go there? I mean, that's more of my question for me. Some people think that way all the time. But the Lord is intimately involved in his people. He is on our side. And he's working it out. And if the Lord thinks that if you fall into the gutter, if he thinks an embarrassing fall into the gutter is what is going to grow you on the inside, then he'll let you fall. But just something so simple as that. Something that, you know, my problem personally is that I think there are many Christians who really only relate to God on those terms. And that's why I hesitate to talk about those terms. But they don't think of God on the greater scale. They don't think of him eternally working the glory inside. They don't think of him in those ways, but they think of him just like, well, you know, I know he's going to get me through this day. And that's kind of as far as some people go with God. But I'm going to just have to get over myself and say, well, you know what? God does look at you every day and take care of you every day. We know that we have angels watching over us, according to Hebrews chapter 1. He's looking out for us. God's looking out for us. And now, do this. Look back at some of the stupidest things you did in your life. Why are you alive, but somebody else didn't make it? Why didn't I go to jail? Why didn't I, well, kill somebody drunk driving? Why? Is it because, well, basically I'm a pretty good guy and God, no. It is something I'll never understand about God until I see him face to face, and that is his grace, his hand, his choosing. But understand, for those that maybe didn't make it in this life, but they belong to the Lord, God's hand was on them as well. Not a hair of their head could be harmed. But I didn't belong to the Lord. I didn't have any thought of Jesus whatsoever in those days. But I look now, you know what? God had mercy on me. God protected me from myself. And I don't know why. I mean, obviously he had a plan, and here I am today. But it's not like, I don't know why. Well, I can see why. I get to talk about him all the time now. But why me? There's no good answer for it. That's why I think verse 1 is so important. If it had not been the Lord who is on our side. Now, any good thing happening to you, That anything that is pleasurable in life that is happening to you, just encourage you to thank the Lord for this. Thank Him for your food. Thank Him for your shoes. Thank Him that while you stubbed your toe, it could have been worse, you could have stubbed two of them. But then the Bible goes one step further. As we know that Paul says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. Which means even the greatest pain, the greatest disappointments, and the deepest wounds are designed by God to work in your heart a glory that you cannot comprehend right now. One day you and I will see the Lord face to face and we will understand it all. But as it is, when it seems like the enemy swallowed us up, when it seems like we're drowning in that flood, the Lord is doing a great work where we can thank Him for everything, for all things work together, for good, for those who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. I read that somewhere. Not real sure where that was. Romans 8:28, for anybody who's wondering. And so, for what reason are we going to go through a whole day without saying thank you, Lord? Without saying even, wow, Lord, you're blowing my mind. You like me. You love me. You protect me. You provide for me. You will not drop me. And if I ever feel like I'm dropped, you still have your eye on me, working your glory in me through that particular drop. I would say the next time anything really cool happens, or you got, you avoided an accident or something, know that it was the Lord who turned you this way or that way. Just know it. And so, David said all of these things. I'm going to guess it was David. It could have been somebody else, but again, the real smart people like to discuss these things. And Israel had yet to be taken away into captivity, if David did write this. Which would mean that, wow, God had taken his eyes off of Israel. But God has never taken his eyes off of Israel. Israel's existence today is a miracle. No other country ever got kicked out of its land so many times. It keeps coming back. No other country, no other people keep doing this resurrection thing. Their existence today is one of the major proofs that the Bible is truly God's word. Just their existence. And this tells me that while there are times where we might stumble and fall, there are times we might lose something or someone, or we might feel like we've totally lost ourselves, God's plan remains the same. and he is going to accomplish it. Israel has lasted through all of this. In the last 2,000 years, the church has lasted through all the persecution and thrived. And when we arrive in heaven that day, when we see the Lord, in some greater, holier way, we're going to say to the Lord, good job. Good job. And we're also probably going to say, sorry that I was taking so much credit for some of the good things that I thought were happening with me. Sorry. So we're going to sing. We're going to worship our God because he's covering us. He's seeing us through. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, that for everything that is going on in our lives, you are working your glory. And if not for you being on our side, we'd be lost. Lord, we do praise you and thank you that you're on our side. And you'll always be on our side. We praise you for your commitment to us, your children. And so, Lord, may you pour out more of your grace on us. How desperately we need your grace and hearts and eyes that see you at every turn. Oh God, you're good. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.